1320 WILS, I'm Michael Cohen. Great to have you here. Well, General Motors and Honda announcing that right around 2020, they're going to start building hydrogen fuel cells right here in Michigan in a plant south of Detroit. What is the future of hydrogen power in our vehicles? Let's ask Maury Markowitz, president of the Fuel Cell and Hydrogen Energy Association. Maury, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you for having me, and Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, indeed. How'd you get into the hydrogen business?
Well, I've been in Washington for quite a while, but I'm proud to say I've been in the auto business off and on since 1982, including work in the retail end of the business, and I also was working for one of the trade associations. So I've been involved in the auto industry and actually in the stationary utility industry for 9 years, so that gave me the great background to look into this transformational technology and work for the trade association.
Why don't we see more hydrogen vehicles on the road today, then?
Well, you will be seeing more hydrogen vehicles in the future because basically right now the hydrogen vehicles are being launched in California. The reason why in California is because, one, it's a zero-emission vehicle state, and number two, the state of California has invested money in building the appropriate infrastructure to have hydrogen fuel cell vehicles in those states for the customers. There's an old saying that you don't get a second chance at a first impression, and we want to make sure that those people who purchase fuel cell electric vehicles are the ones who are going to get the appropriate support in their purchase and feel good about what they're buying.
Okay, so when you compare, let's say, hydrogen vehicles to the electric vehicles we're seeing now, how are they going to compare in terms of driving them?
Well, I can tell you that both are electric vehicles. The difference is, one, you get the electricity from a generating plant that brings it to an outlet. The other is mainly the fuel cell electric vehicle, which is much more efficient, is that you produce the electricity on board. What makes a fuel cell electric vehicle so attractive is that it's the only zero-emission vehicle available now and for the near-term future. I'm talking about the next 5 to 10 years. That totally replicates the current driver's experience of being able to drive 300 to 400 miles on a tank full of fuel, but equally important, to be able to refuel the vehicle in 3 to 5 minutes. That's an important element that will make the vehicle more comfortable for prospective customers in the future.
Okay, so to actually be able to drive them here in Michigan, how much of an infrastructure would we need to build out?
Well, that actually depends on how many vehicles would be planned to be sold in the area. But what we have found out is that, you know, right now we have gas stations, sometimes 2 to 3 in a corner. You won't need that. What you really will need is a gas station between that is no further than 6 minutes away from where a person lives or works. And that would be totally adequate for an initial early adopter's needs to meet their buying concerns.
Is that expensive then to fuel hydrogen into these vehicles? Is that an expensive setup?
Actually, the stations themselves cost about $1 million. Now, when I'm talking about a station, I'm not talking about something that's going to be built from scratch. What we're talking about is basically a dispenser, even at an existing station. But that today, at today's cost, because they're still being built one-off at about $1 million, but we're expecting in the future, just like the vehicles themselves, that will drop in price dramatically as you get more stations, more suppliers online.
Okay. Maury Markowitz with us, president of the Fuel Cell and Hydrogen Energy Association. We're talking about the future of hydrogen energy in our vehicles. Well, what's going to happen to gas-powered cars once hydrogen picks up?
Well, I'll tell you, I really feel comfortable in saying that for the next 5, 10, 15 years, you're going to see that most manufacturers are going to provide a portfolio of vehicles. The internal combustion engine has improved dramatically, and there's still a lot of life in that. And then you're also going to see hybrids. You're going to see plug-in hybrids. You're going to see battery electric vehicles where appropriate, and you're also going to see fuel cell electric vehicles.
Okay. In terms of power, is there any power issue? Can you get more power out of gas engines than hydrogen-powered engines?
No. The deal here is that the advantage of fuel cell technology is that it's actually scalable. And what I mean by that is you could build a fuel cell vehicle anywhere from an A-class all the way up to an inner-city bus. BEV technology is a little limited because of the laws of physics, in which as you scale it up, you are actually carrying more weight than the electricity it produces. Mm-hmm. So there is some limitations on scalability with BEVs, but not with fuel cells.
Okay, so if hydrogen becomes something we can start using, do you imagine the electric vehicles, the ones that are running on just the batteries you plug in, will those start to fade out at that point?
No, I don't think so, because I think there's going to be a mission for all these vehicles. For people who basically are looking for a secondary or tertiary vehicle that they're going to use for commuting short distances, a BEV, especially if they have a garage mm-hmm. and the ability to charge a vehicle, a BEV will meet that need. Now, if someone's looking just for one vehicle or doesn't have the capability to charge a vehicle because they live, they park their car in off the street or on the street mm-hmm. or they don't have a garage, fuel cell electric vehicles will be a terrific alternative for them.
Now, I saw that Nissan is considering for their fuel cells to replace hydrogen with ethanol. What do you think of that?
I think that when you're looking at the future of where the hydrogen will be derived from, it's going to be derived from, and this is one of the advantages, almost entirely from domestic fuels, whether it's natural gas or wind power or solar power or biogas or ethanol. The beauty of it is that you're going to see almost entirely it being derived from domestic fuels, and that really provides a benefit not only for the consumer but for our country, where our treasure, our national treasure, remains here in the United States and not overseas.
Okay, so how do you actually get the hydrogen to the point that you can use that as fuel?
Well, the hydrogen becomes from a molecule that they get through reforming from natural gas, for instance. Mm-hmm. Or if you reuse wind and solar power, you use excess wind and solar power that is not being used to power, and you use the process of electrolysis that derives the hydrogen from water through the electricity that you use from excess wind or solar power, and you use the hydrogen as a molecule and energy source to then store that excess power. So the excess power is really free power.
Maury Markowitz is the president of the Fuel Cell and Hydrogen Energy Association. What about other uses of hydrogen power? Do you expect that to be used for other kinds of power generation?
Oh, absolutely. One of the growing levels of use right now is what we call stationary power, and that is, for instance, the building of a data center or other critical applications. Big companies such as Apple, Verizon, they're using hydrogen-powered fuel cells to power their enormous data centers around the country. And the power is so clean and so reliable that they use that as the baseload for their power and use the grid as a backup. Mm-hmm. Another one that's now actually commercially competitive with what I'd like to call the incumbent technology is for material handling. And that is that large distribution centers are now using hydrogen-powered fuel cell forklifts to use for material handling in large distribution centers.
Okay.
Why is that become very popular is because it's competitive on price, but equally important, you don't have to take the real estate you do when you have a facility that's running 24/7, mm-hmm. and you have to have batteries to cover 8-hour shifts, and the time it takes to change battery is so much longer than it does to just refill a fuel cell forklift, that people are actually, the companies that are increasingly buying it are using it because they find the competitive advantage of being able to be much more productive.
Then a hydrogen is what, delivered via truck to these locations, or how does it work?
Well, it actually works on multiple levels, but right now the most practical way is to have the hydrogen centrally produced and then shipped to the various locations, just like you see gasoline or other fuels being done today.
Okay, well, one last thing. The fact that it's going to be pressurized hydrogen in the vehicles, what happens if those cells burst in an accident?
Well, today's technology has made these fuel cell tanks extraordinarily robust and safe. The use of carbon fiber, and this is what's being used for most of the tanks, is done so, and as you know, carbon fiber now is being used for jetliners because of the lightweight of the material and the fact of how strong it is compared to other materials. And that technology has made these fuel tanks extraordinarily safe.
So obviously when you rupture a gas tank, the gas will leak out. What happens when you rupture a pressurized hydrogen tank?
Well, you will have, if it ever would rupture, and it would be very rare that it would, what you do is you're having the hydrogen dissipate into the atmosphere. Don't forget that unlike gasoline, for instance, a fuel, which would pool because it's heavier than air, mm-hmm. the hydrogen would actually dissipate because it's actually lighter than air.
Okay, so you're saying there's not any potential of kind of a sudden explosion at that point?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not really. You're looking at it when you talk about sudden. No, you're talking about unless there was an ignition of the fuel, then you would have a probably some sort of reaction to that. But other than that, you're looking at it just like in any other kind of energy source, that mm-hmm. as long as there's not an ignition source, that this source would just dissipate into the atmosphere.
Okay, and GM and Honda teaming up on the project, are they the leaders right now in pursuing this?
Well, actually, they're all leaders in that, for instance, Hyundai, Toyota, and Honda are now selling product and leasing product in California.
Mm-hmm.
GM has been one of the leaders in developing the technology. They've been doing it since the mid-60s. So they have been a leader in technology development, and we expect that they will join the other companies in producing the product in the not-too-distant future.
Maury Markowitz, president of the Fuel Cell and Hydrogen Energy Association, right here on 1320 WILS. Maury, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much.
We're coming right back. You're listening to More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.